Good evening. My name is Styles. I have a new life in Christ as of September 3rd, 2016, and I'm recovering from self-reliance. In my home, the emphasis was placed on family, not God. And so expectedly, my parents relied on themselves, not God, for both their identities and their decision-making for our family. This resulted in a performance-based, high expectation, love-filled, spiritually poor home. It is strange looking back. It was like praying the same generic, meaningless prayers before meals, being appropriate and keeping our religion private and comfortable, and going to church on Sundays was sufficient. We viewed God as a religion, not as a relationship. For us, God was more of an accessory than he was a lifestyle. These childhood patterns created natural tendencies towards reliance on myself, not God, for everything from my self-worth to how I handle myself in conflict to how I made decisions. Because my parents relied on the unity of our family, not God, to provide our strength and stability, when they divorced at 13, it derailed all of us. Whereas before the divorce, my parents' values had guided my decisions, afterwards, I fell between the cracks of priority and became lost without their supervision, boundaries, and leadership. Hungry for affirmation, I began progressively making decisions more on an approval-based system, those things that brought me validation, attention, and comfort, and less on the values-based system on which I was raised. I started a fire by choosing to rely on myself to make decisions, then doused myself in gasoline when I chose to run with a group of guys who, like me, were desperately seeking to affirm their masculinity or numb themselves to their miserable realities, and in that, single-handedly destroyed myself. This led to losing my virginity at 13 on a dare in a game of truth or dare, 12 years of womanizing, 12 years of excessive alcohol and drug abuse with multiple blackouts and drunk driving episodes a week, 6 arrests between the ages of 16 and 21, squandering tens of thousands of dollars, a termination from a highly sought-after career path, and 12 years of superficial, damaging relationships with friends and family, all of which led to a proliferation of isolation, self, insecurity, inconsistency, fear, lying, self-promotion, cowardice, blindness, and numbness for which I'm still reaping the consequences, scars that will no doubt last a lifetime. To be specific, a particular low point in my life found me pulling half-smoked cigarette butts out of a communal ashtray outside of a gas station in Lexington, Virginia, because despite the fact that I was spending $50,000 a semester on my parents' money on a private top U.S. academic college and had a monthly stipend of personal spending money, I'd blown all of it and could not afford to buy a pack of cigarettes. If you had asked me my perspective on God at that time, I would have told you that he was fake until proven otherwise, and I'd sound bitter when I said it. My exposure to Christian men at that point had left much to be desired. To me, they seemed like the kind of guys who would leave you in a fistfight. I scoffed at Christians for being weak, for needing to brainwash themselves into believing something that was not real, simply to distract them from the tough realities of a hard world. It seemed too convenient, like a fabricated hope. Moreover, even if God were real, these were the men that followed him. How could I respect someone that had never experienced hardship like I had? And how could I connect with someone I did not respect? September 3rd, 2016 changed all of that. The weekend of Watermark's Young Adults Retreat hit me like a sledgehammer to the chest. My wonderful, darling, then-girlfriend somehow persuaded me to go that weekend, a feat which proved to be just the first of many times that God has used her to bring me closer to him. The weekend surrounded me with hundreds of men with pasts like mine, or worse, who had been genuinely transformed by choosing to follow Christ and had been leading a life marked by those characteristics for which I had been striving and failing to achieve for years. I realized that one, I wanted what they had. Two, what all of them had came from the same thing. And three, if they could get that one thing, then maybe I could too. They followed Jesus, and because I chose to follow them, they led me right to him. They helped me to make the shift from believing that God was fake until proven otherwise, to believing that God is real until proven otherwise, and even more, they challenged me to put that belief to the test. Upon returning to Dallas, I took their advice about my next steps. I plugged into community. I sought help on how to pray and read scripture, actually devoted daily, plugged into a local body by attending sermons on Sundays and Tuesdays, and quickly moved out of the apartment where I've been living with my then-girlfriend. Shortly afterwards, I came to Regen because Todd, our head pastor here, kept saying the healthiest people at this church come on Monday nights. I had this new perspective, realized that I didn't know a thing about God, and so I figured that this would be a good place to start. The first three steps were golden. Admit that I couldn't handle this anymore. 12 years had proven that. Believe that God could. Nothing else had worked. Why not? Trust God. Literally have nothing to lose. But it was inventory that rocked me. That step consolidated all of my resentments, the sexual damage, my fears, and the harms that I had caused in one overwhelmingly long list. It was an itemized receipt of the damage that I had done to myself and to others. How could I start paying back a bill that size? Though I understood the gospel of Jesus, dying for my sins, this put it into real perspective. It made it personal. I'm not even close to worthy of a relationship with God. And yet this all-powerful creator came to earth. He humbled himself to be a human like me, taught me the best, most joyful way to live, and then died the most painful death at that time at the hands of professional torturers in order to pay my bill, my debts, so that I could have access to all that is wonderful and good and awesome in this life and in death. That is a real man, one worth following. Though I still proudly walk alongside those men that led me at launch, that realization forced a shift from me following them to following Jesus. So I've given my life to God. What does that look like? Jeremiah 29:13 tells me that you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Okay? So to find him, I need to seek him with all of my heart. Now, what is the best way to go about doing that? Matthew 6:33-34 tells me to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Okay, so one day at a time. This 24 hours at a time means that you do not think about tomorrow. It means that you fully engage today, right now, the moment that God has placed you in, one that is certain. We are so easily distracted, and so by bringing God into the here and now, we keep ourselves plugged into him, bringing him into our decisions, our lifestyle, our homes, our jobs, our friendships, our finances, our workouts, our language, our actions, our voting, our music and movie tastes, and our children. And this helps us to find him even more. He has not only redeemed me from the cost of the bill that I had racked up while relying on myself, but he has so changed me that I do not even recognize the guy that I described at the beginning of this testimony. My girlfriend then, now wife, my family, and my closest friends will attest to this truth. Of course, I still have bad days, days when my temper is short, days when I'm passive and feel like a coward, days when I'm all about myself or how I look to others. But then I center back on these truths. I go to him in prayer, and I seek counsel and admonishment from those God has surrounded me with. I am then able to see through the haze to what is actually true, that God loves me and nothing else really matters. I used to believe that weak men fabricated religion as a crutch to help them through this life. And what I have found to be so ironic about all of that is that the Christian life is the harder, less traveled road. I have found it to be the most masculine, empowering, and natural experience a man can have, and what a privilege it has been to step onto it. As Robert Frost says, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. My name is Stiles Harper, and I'm here today to tell you that the God who has you sitting in that seat right now loves you and cares about you. He changed my life, and he can change yours too. Thank you.